I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It is a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Looks like the rain kind of snow mix has stopped for just a minute here in downtown Salt Lake City. But boy, nice to see us finally getting a wet storm, Ton.
It is really nice. I've been worried about a few things I've planted and was going to go out yesterday and with a 5-gallon bucket of water and water them in. And this storm has saved that. And so, you know, new lawns, newly planted landscape plants, and the pines and spruce especially are appreciating this. And hopefully it will alleviate some of that drought stress.
Yeah, alleviate that concern that some of us have had, too. We can take a deep breath for a minute, and hopefully these storms will continue. The drought situation is not good, according to the National Weather Service, so we need this precipitation, that's for sure. Ton, you wanted to start the hour talking about winter pruning, and I don't know, weren't we not... I thought we were supposed to put the pruners away. Are there some things that we can prune now?
There are. It's getting to the point that it's mid-January. Things are fully dormant. And if you need to do some pruning, you can start. Now, I'm not advocating going out there and just butchering your trees. I think JD maybe talked about this a little last week with Sheridan. But the pruning is on an as-need basis. And if you need to prune things like maples and walnut trees that have a tendency to leak a lot of sap when they're pruned later in the season, it's perfectly fine to do some pruning on those. But you need to remember to not cut more than about 20% of the total branching out of a tree when you prune.
Okay. What trees would we just want to stay away from, though? I mean, you don't want people to start pruning things, right?
Well, midwinter for your ornamental, like your shade trees and things, is a good time to prune most all of them.
Okay.
In Utah. Now, if you read pruning guides, sometimes it'll say don't do oaks right now because of a disease that's not present here. The pruners can spread the spores around, but we don't have the disease in Utah. And just because, you know, when I've talked to arborists and like the campus foresters and things, and they've always said that when in doubt on a tree, especially a shade tree, prune in midwinter.
Mm-hmm. And that's because it's now dormant, so you're not going to spur that growth that you would have if you had done that late
Correct.
Fall.
Yeah, you're going to do far less damage. Now, those pruning wounds will still reduce dormancy where you make the cut. And so you need to watch the weather and make sure that it's not going to be below 10 or so degrees for the next several days after you prune. So this isn't just a wholesale, yeah, go get it all done. But on the shade trees, it's time to start if you need to. And then even on your fruit trees, I don't recommend pruning now. But if you're super busy, you're going to be out of town, especially on apples and pears, you can go ahead and start pruning on those.
Mm-hmm. So if I had a section of scrub oak that seems to have taken over and I wanted just to eliminate that entire section, would this be a good time to call someone to remove that?
It is. And if you're completely removing an area, any time of the year is fine because you're not worried about the health of the plants. You're removing them.
Plus, they're not as busy right now, so it
Correct.
Might be a good
yeah,
time
so,
to call.
Yeah, they may have more time right now because, like you said, they're not as busy, and they'll start getting busier as the winter and spring progresses.
Okay. On a, something like a scrub oak like that, won't it come back? I mean, what would need to be done to make sure that I'm eliminating that whole section?
Well, there's no real way to totally eliminate it unless you can somehow get all the roots out of the soil. And because scrub oak here locally, the main way it propagates is through root suckers, you're never going to totally get rid of it. Even if you removed all the roots to the point, to the line, you know, where you want them, within a few years, those trees will start shooting roots through there and they will reemerge.
I don't like that answer. Tom.
How about you could maybe get some corrugated tin or something, and, you know, it'd have to be a couple of feet deep and that would slow it down further, but you can never underestimate the scrub oak and its ability to recolonize areas that it was removed from over years.
Right. So if someone did remove that, a professional, because I'm not going to do this, would they need to, could they put some sort of spray or something on there that would prevent that from happening?
No, any spray that they put down there that would prevent them from coming back would also prevent other plants from growing.
Ah.
Something like a ground sterilant.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say you were doing a walkway and you remove those oaks, you know, 20 or 30 feet beyond the walkway, then yeah, you might be able to use a ground sterilant on that walkway if it was a gravel, you know, walking path. But because that ground sterilant soaks into the soil and it will go sometimes a couple of feet in either direction, you don't want any ornamental plants or lawn adjacent to the walkway because it will, there's a potential of doing harm to them.
Mm-hmm. And how long does that ground sterilant, how long is it in effect?
Stuff that's available to homeowners generally will last about a year in the soil. Mm-hmm. But that's still enough time for it to do a lot of damage. If it's a commercial or a restricted use ground sterilant, those can last for years.
Okay. Anything else about winter pruning people should know before we get off the topic?
Look up fact sheets, and if you're on YouTube, there's a lot of bad information. And so find people you trust, you know, the extension services. And there, if you know where to look, there's some really good private individuals that do some good pruning demonstrations and things. But find good information. Find out what you're doing. Know why you're pruning. It's just not this thing like, I feel macho, I'm going to go cut some branches, I got a new chainsaw. You know, you need to know what you're doing and why, and then go ahead. But just, you know, try not to go butcher your trees. Now, if you make some miscuts, the trees grow back. But if you can do some research ahead of time, it's always good.
All right. And you can find an article about that, more information on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. You can also find the things that we've talked about this morning that you may have missed. We talked about maintaining a fruit orchard, and we also talked about some beautiful houseplants and perennials. So check out the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We're going to take a break. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show this morning. We are taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Ton, the next texter, says they have a magnolia tree that's fairly close to a cherry tree. They added sulfur. Seems like the cherry didn't like that, and they're wondering how they could fix that.
Well, I can't say for sure that the sulfur caused any damage,
mm-hmm.
because in and of itself, unless they just put lots and lots of it down, the amount of sulfur it would take to damage the cherry would also damage the magnolia.
Mm.
So it could just be a coincidence. I can't rule it out, but I think it's more of just a coincidence. And what I'd recommend doing is taking some pictures of the cherry and the damage or how it's unhealthy and getting those pictures over to a local extension office or maybe a local nursery. Cherries are infamous for not lasting a long time in the yard, whether they're fruit trees or ornamentals. So it could just be a coincidence.
All right. Next person says, do you need special lights to start plants indoors, and what kinds of light bulbs are best?
Well, on the inexpensive end, I would recommend they go to a hardware store and buy some of the compact fluorescent bulbs that were popular up until 5 or 6 years ago, but they want them on steroids, for lack of a better term, the equivalent of like a 250-watt bulb. And then you can put those in inexpensive outlets, you know, just build something to hang over your trays and do one or two per tray. And that's very inexpensive, $20 or $30 of equipment. Now, if you want to do something a little fancier, you can use shop lights and use the fluorescent bulbs from shop lights and put those about 6 inches above your trays and then keep raising them up. They're the LED lights that are meant for germinating plants have come down in price quite a bit. They're still a bit more expensive, but they will work well too.
All right. Can you advise the pros and cons of using a stump grinder on aspen tree roots in a lawn?
Well, the pro is that you get the trunk lower into the ground, but you're still not getting rid of all the roots, and the suckers are going to be coming up from the roots.
All right. Let's take a call from Tim in Taylorsville. Good morning, Tim. How can we help you?
Hi. I have a white rose and a purple rose that are next to each other, and they crossbreed, and in my opinion, they make the best rose ever. And I've tried to propagate that new variety, which I named after my wife, Marcy, but I haven't had any luck using potatoes or aloe vera leaves. Huh. I was wondering if there's a local rose grower that I could take the clippings to get an offspring plant.
Well, I don't know of any that do a lot of propagation. Now, there's going to be people out there, you know, Bart, who's kind of become part of the furniture, and Golden would know how to do it. You know, they're just experienced gardeners, and there will be others. But specifically, is there a group or something? I don't know of anybody. Now, you could try grafting it. You know, usually if you're going to, it's not grafting, but it's called budding, and August is the best time to do the budding on it. And you could watch some YouTube videos. But if you wanted some callers to call in and say, I know this person that they do a lot of rose budding or grafting or propagation, we'd sure be willing to throw that out there.
Yes, I would be interested. How do I leave my contact info?
Yeah, I'm going to have you call back, and Caitlin will answer the phone and get your number, because we don't have your number. And then we can contact you with the information that we find.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right, Tim, thanks for your call this morning. Next texter, Ton, wants to know why their cucumbers are always bitter. How can they fix that?
It's usually a combination of heat and allowing them to become drought stressed, and maybe not growing burpless varieties. The burpless varieties are less likely to be bitter. Some of them will actually say like bitter free on it, or, you know, have terms like that on there. But those cucumbers, even though they don't show drought stress, you don't really want to let them dry out extensively between irrigations. That will help greatly, but every once in a while, we get hot enough that they will just get bitter.
Okay, next person is concerned about mushrooms in their lawn. They've tried a couple things, using vinegar water and drying out that part of the yard, but they still get them every year. First of all, are they a problem? Like, I mean, they're not the most sightly, but are they a problem for the lawn?
Well, you've got a 1 in 3 chance of a mushroom being edible. And so if you have animals or kids that just like to pop everything in their mouth, that can be a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as getting rid of them, there's really not anything they can do. You know, drying out that area will help. But because of normal moisture cycles with, you know, rain in the spring and fall, you're not going to get rid of them because they're decomposing something deeper in the soil. Mushrooms don't just pop up and have a shallow root system right at the surface. There's organic matter, old wood, or sometimes thatch, that they are decomposing, And the mushrooms that pop up is just the reproductive part of a larger organism. And so when you rake those toadstools off or the mushrooms off, you've just diminished it by 10 or 15 or 20%. And there's still a larger organism underground decomposing. And until that organic matter is decomposed, you may have it for several years.
Okay, let's go to our next caller. That would be Richard in Bountiful. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. I have two quick questions. Does the extension still have that preferred seed list for gardening in Utah?
I believe so. If you Google USU and vegetable seed, it'll bring up whatever lists are there.
Okay. And my second quick question, I applied the pre-emergent for spurge last year like I was supposed to, yet about mid-July, it just came back with a vengeance.
What pre-emergent did you use?
Oh, I think it was something like Galleria or one of those. I'm not sure which one.
Okay.
I don't remember the brand.
It usually, if the spurge comes back, and if you use something like Galleria or a similar, like isoxaben is the active in there, it's usually, honestly, and I'm not criticizing, but it's usually user error because those are supposed to be a season long. So what I would recommend doing is the one I know of that's still available is made by the former company Bayer. I think they're just now called Advanced, but they have the same blue bottles. They have a product called Season Long Broadleafed Weed Control for lawns. And this has that same Galleria product, that isoxaben in it, and follow those instructions thoroughly. When you apply it, you're going to be following them so that you get all parts of the lawn, and there's going to be a weed killer in it that will kill anything that's up and going, but there's also pre-emergent.
Well, is that a spray or a granular?
It's a spray.
Oh, it's a spray. And when
yes.
do you apply that then?
It'll be sometime around mid-April, depending on the weather.
Same type of as usual, then?
Yes, it is. But yeah, so it's got the dandelion killer plus pre-emergent, and that's why they call it season long. But you're going to read those instructions thoroughly, because sometimes to get that pre-emergent down, you need to use a higher flow rate on your water so that it can reach the soil.
Okay. Thank you for your help.
All right. Thank you for your call today. Next person wants to know, when is a good time to prune an apple tree?
Mid-February is the best time to prune those apple trees.
Will black currant grow in Utah? And if so, where can they buy them? They couldn't find them anywhere last year.
They may need to get them online. There's a couple of different places. I'm not sure if they still carry black currant,
mm-hmm.
but there's a place out of Massachusetts. I'm trying to remember the name of it now. Oh, no. I'll think of it over the break, but
okay.
There you can order them online, and that's most likely what they're going to have to do. Norse Farms, N-O-U-R-S-E. So if they Google Norse Farms, they have a lot of stuff like that.
Okay, we have about a minute. Let's try and squeeze in Steve from Orem. Good morning, Steve. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
I've got a Japanese elm, and I noticed that the bark is reversing itself, rolling back on itself, and there's white powder under the bark. What have I got?
No idea. The white powder is oftentimes, if you have dead bark, is just there, and it may not even be related to what's causing the tree to decline. We may need to hold you over the break, but what side of the tree are you seeing the bark roll back on? Is it like the south or west side of the tree?
It's pretty much on the whole tree, on the lower sections.
Okay. And are you seeing any liquid in the summer flowing to where those wound areas are moist all the time and just kind of not really desirable, just kind of mushy?
No.
Okay. Well, all I can really tell you is there's a problem. And Maria, if we could hold them through, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
I'd like to explore a little more. But all that's really telling you is there's something wrong.
Okay, Steve, I'd like you just to stand by while we check our bottom of the hour news, and we'll be right back to you. And the number to call, 801-575-8255, and you can text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.